People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. This is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note, right here on Fine Music Radio. Now, as you may or may not know, the Voices of South Africa National Opera Singing Competition takes place here at the Artscape Theatre on Sunday, the 28th of July at 3 p.m. And this high-profile event is preceded by a series of masterclasses at the Hugo Lambrecht Concert Hall in Paro. The sixth Opera Voices of South Africa project builds on the success of previous years by continuing to enable the training and nurturing of young South African musicians and particularly singers. The South African-born, London-based opera singer Injabulo Mdladla, who spearheads the Voices of South Africa project, is my guest on People of Note this week to talk about this and about his award-winning career. Endless prizes you've won, Mdladla. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Tell me how this came about. Was it your idea entirely, this whole competition?
Yeah, well, I guess it was, because I was very lucky. I was very fortunate to go to London to study, to get a scholarship there, having come from Durban, where really I had never had an opportunity to study with anyone, or, you know, I just finished high school. And my story is something of a wonder, really, because I grew up in Durban, went to school there, and I always sang in the choir. And when I finished studies, there was I heard on the radio there were auditions taking place at the Playhouse Theatre. And I went along. They were looking for a chorus for a Carmen production, which was happening here in Cape Town. It's the Carmen that later became Ucarmen in Khayelitsha.
Into a film, I think.
Yes, and into a film.
Yeah, yeah.
But those days, they were putting together a festival for Spear. I went along and I sang. And I was just finishing matric then. And I got accepted to be in the chorus. So I came down here. We did the festival for 3 months. And at the end of 3 months, the two productions, The Mysteries and Carmen, were invited to go to the UK. And so off we went, still singing in the chorus.
Yeah.
And whilst we're in the UK, I got a chance to sing a small role, Morales, because somebody else pulled out. So I remember being coached overnight, really, to do it and getting to do it. But what was important was that in one of the performances was a lady in the audience who had realized how young I was and said, I think you need to go go and study. And she gave me names of music colleges, the Guildhall School of Music, the Royal College of Music, and to investigate, and I did. And a long story short, but I got a scholarship to go to the Guildhall School of Music, having turned up one day and asked to sing for the head of voice department. But when I started to study there, I realized how much more students were having there, which we don't have here at home. And so it quickly became my preoccupation. How could I get some of this to South Africa? And that is how this program was born. Because as I was studying, I was trying to figure out, how can I get these people, some of them who are teachers to me, and some of them that I started to meet as colleagues as I finished studying and went into the profession and had access to them, how can I bring these people to South Africa to hear the talent that I've left behind, but also to create programs similar to what you have all over the world, you know, summer programs where singers get selected to come and spend an intensive period of master classes. And so right from then, when I finished my studies and started working, I did the first project, which is I just invited a colleague of mine, a pianist, South African pianist, in fact, James Bellew. And together we went to Durban and I put it together and I got singers to work with him. And he coached for a week. And then we realized that this is something that is needed here. And then it's grown from there. And each year I'm able to bring different colleagues to come and do these masterclasses.
And do they come with enthusiasm? Do they come enthusiastically?
Yeah, they come with a lot of enthusiasm. And the one of the biggest challenges at the beginning was, of course, that I had to put it all together, raise money to get them to South Africa, raise money to get this small group of singers that... and so the process is that each year I will announce, open for application, singers from across South Africa apply. and they all send their recordings, and it doesn't have to be professional recordings. They can just use their phone. All I'm after is really to hear the voice, the talent. And and when they send recordings, then I choose about 20 to 25 of them, and assemble them together. And then I bring the people who have chosen that particular year to come. But lately, actually, I've had some strain of having to raise money for people to come from abroad and to house the singers, because I'm partnering with opera companies too. Opera companies that I've worked with, but also opera companies that I've not worked with, but that I've been able to approach and tell about this project. So last year I had the Royal Opera House partner with me by sending two people from the Royal Opera House to come and train the singers. I had English National Opera send their head of casting here, who was part of the panel for the competition, spent a week hearing the singers, and actually offered 8 singers employment at English National Opera at the end of it. So eight singers went over last year from August until January to be in their Pogi and Bears. And I had people from the Guildhall who at the end of it have offered 3 students full scholarships, and they are starting in September this year. Tando Mjandana, Chuma Sijeka, and Nkululeko Masuku are starting at Guildhall this year.
What an experience for them. What an opportunity for them.
Yeah.
Like you had the opportunity almost by accident, didn't you, with the Carmen thing.
Exactly.
Before we continue with your story, let's have a piece of music, Njabula. What is your first piece of music? What have you chosen for us to listen to?
I like the song Della, which is written by Michael Morane, South African composer. Sbongile sings this song, and I've got a great connection with this song. When I started singing, I heard a female voice. My grandmother sang a lot in the house. So as I grew and heard Sbongile, she's become a very important voice in my life as a singer, but also as a friend and mentor. And so this song always comes to my mind first.
It's a wonderful voice, isn't it, Sibongile Khumalo? I remember, Njabulo, when I first heard her years ago singing Brahms, the Brahms Alto Rhapsody, I thought, my goodness, this is an international voice. And this was many, many years ago. That was Sibongile Khumalo singing Della by Michael Morane, the first choice of my guest on this week's edition of People of Note, the South African-born, London-based opera singer Njabulo Madlala. And we're talking about the Voices of South African National Opera Singing Competition, which has its grand finale next Sunday, the 28th of July, at 3 o'clock here at the Artscape Theatre. It seems to me, Njabulo, that a dream has come true for you, because you said at the beginning how you were thinking of a way to get these people to South Africa. Is this the sixth competition this year?
This is the sixth competition. And really, to get back to how I've started this is because I realized that not everyone is going to be lucky as I was to land up in London and to have a mystery lady in the audience who's going to come forward and say, I think you should do this. So we really need projects like this, which are going to be really connecting ground between young singers here who are very talented coming up, but do not know where to begin to do this thing, to connect them with people that are able to help them either to go further in education or to already engage them, because some of them are ready to be engaged in either small opera companies, in studios and things like that. So this is a big dream for me, because I mean, also growing up, I was very aware that it is very difficult to find the information that we need. So if I could create a project that does that, and of course it still means, you know, it doesn't change anything. The singers are going to have to be very talented, and they're going to have to be people that really want to do this thing, which is what these 10 days of masterclasses gives us a window into. Because initially I select them just based on their voice. But when they turn up, we look at what's their attitude. Are they people that can survive in this field, which is very difficult? Great rewards at the end.
And very hard work.
But very hard work. And, you know, the journey to it is not an easy one. So even as they are not yet exposed, you need to see an element of a hardworking person, but a very focused person as well, you know.
As you said, attitude is important. You might hear the most beautiful voice on a recording, and they would come along and just have the wrong attitude
and have the wrong attitude,
equipped to undertake a career like
and
this.
And not be able to take on information. And and of course, our job is all about that. You can have the most wonderful voice, and you can be the biggest star in the world. But when you turn up on the first day of rehearsal, you have a director that has his vision about the production. You have a conductor that is going to want to tell you what tempos are, as opposed to what you've prepared maybe at home with your singing teacher or your coach. And you've got to be able to adapt very quickly and take on stuff. Because at the end, of course, you're going to be the true artist that's able to pull off and show off what you are made of. But it's also that we have to always remember that this is someone else's production. It's not yours.
That's true.
And there's a person standing in the podium with a group of 80 musicians underneath. So you can't just do your own tempi.
Yeah, of course. But Njabulo, how does it work? So you do these masterclasses. People are selected. Then you sort of, I presume you have a number of finalists for that final concert next Sunday. And then you choose how many people can win at this competition and get to go overseas.
Yeah, so the competition part really was not the biggest part of this project. The biggest part was the educational part and the developmental part, which is get them together with people who can really assist them and take them further, but work with them. The competition I've added at the end because for various reasons. It's a good incentive for young singers. They've got something to look forward to at the end of these 10 days of training. But it's also an opportunity for us to assess progress in many ways. Have people taken on stuff, you know, during these 10 days? And it's also an opportunity for them, as I say, an incentive. It's an opportunity for them to win small prizes. And prizes are completely donated separately by a friend who is a doctor, Durban-based Sicelo Ngwanyana, who's also a tenor. I would say an amateur tenor. He sings with the choir. So, and how it came about was he came once to the to one of the end concerts that he gave, and he said, "You know, I would like to donate something, and we can turn this into prizes." Yeah, and so we've got three prizes. The first prize is 30,000 rand. Second prize is 20,000, and the third prize is 10,000.
And do these people that win those prizes automatically go overseas?
Well, there are people that are sort of mentored going forward.
Yeah.
And also something to say about the prizes, they are expected to use these prizes towards their development. So we expect them to go and have coaching, to go and have to buy music scores, to use it for traveling if they need to go to London for auditions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really why that part is there. And it's an exciting part because it gives them a chance to perform for an audience, you know, at the end of these 10 days.
Of course.
And it gives people in Cape Town, people in South Africa, an opportunity to hear new talent and to support them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's have your second piece now. I see some Schumann is coming up in Jabulo.
Yes.
Some Lieder. Tell me what we're going to hear and why you've chosen it.
So we are going to hear Stille Tränen, Silent Tears, by Schumann, and it's sung by Sarah Walker, who's one of my favorite singers, and also I would say somebody who's also played a major part in my life as a student and in my career. Sarah Walker was, when I turned up to the Guildhall, as I said, and sang, she's a singer that had a huge career.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah.
Many, many recordings.
Many, many recordings, yes. And when I turned up, I was introduced to her, and she is one of the people that sat on the panel. And she then made sure that I got the money to go and study at the Guildhall, and she's stayed in my life ever since. But not only that, she assisted me in that way. I found her voice to be one of the most beautiful instruments, you know, and her musicality. I've been very inspired by what she's done.
That was the voice of Sarah Walker, Stille Tränen by Schumann, and the second choice of my guest on this week's edition of People of Note here on Fine Music Radio, the opera singer Injabulo Mdladlo, who, as I said, South African-born, London-based now, and he spearheads the Voices of South Africa project, the one that's going to be having its final concert next Sunday, the 28th of July at 3 o'clock here at Artscape, after a week of masterclasses. So it's quite an intensive period, this competition, for want of a better word, isn't it? They're all the master classes. I know you opened with a gala concert to begin, and then the hard work begins.
Yes, absolutely. And we opened with the concert at Baxter, and it's the first time that I've done the concert. It was a huge success. It was a sellout concert. And I'm very grateful for the support that people in Cape Town have given us, because I'm using the concert as a fundraiser for the work that comes after.
Right.
Yeah, so from now on, it's really about every day, 8 or 9 hours of coaching.
Gosh.
And I've got a person, a director sent by the Royal Opera House, again, Anthony Almeida, who's working with the singers. And I've got the Guildhall is again partnering with this project, and they're sending the head of opera studies, Dominic Wheeler, who is working with the singers, and Kobe van Rensburg, who is a South African singer, tenor.
He's been a guest on this very program.
Okay, yeah, and he's a wonderful teacher. Mm. I mean, I know him as a singer and as a director, and I'm being introduced to how wonderful he is as a teacher. It's second to none, mm-hmm. you know, when you watch him teach. And so he's come over from Germany, and he's supported by Umculo Project, which is, he's one of the directors of that. And we do similar work, but they've been very kind to support his trip here and to support his work with the singers. So I don't have to pay him for teaching, but it's the great support that's come from Umculo.
Are these the same people that are going to be the judges at the final concert?
Well, previously, that's what I've done. I have had the people that work with the singers through the week also judge at the end. This year, it will be slightly different, because I want to give the singers an opportunity to work freely with the people that we've brought, without feeling that at the end they are going to be judged by the same people. So to separate,
psychological. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yes, and also just to make sure that the singers don't feel that maybe I didn't win because I didn't please the teacher quite enough, mm-hmm. you know, or anything like that. But they are going to be a part of the deliberation, because their views are important in as far as they can tell us, you know, how a student came across, but not that it will affect the competition, because the competition, we really want to judge it based on the performance that day, that time.
Exactly, yes.
Yes.
Whereas these people have seen, as you said, their attitude, yes. their approach to work, yes. all those sort of things, yes. through the week, so their input, yes. is valuable.
Exactly, yes.
May I ask you, Injabulo, about funding? You hinted earlier that it's becoming slightly more difficult, mm-hmm. or are you getting people to support you? I know you've got this very generous man, the doctor in Durban, which, yes. is an amazing thing for someone, yes. to do. Yeah. But do you have to try and get advertisers on board, or do you try and keep it within the sort of artistic community?
Well, you know, ever since I started this project, it's really been supported by people. And when I say people, I mean colleagues, I mean friends. Every time that I've done it, I've put it out there that I need people to support, and people donate every year, from anything from £5 to anything from 100 rands, people donate. And I have to tell you that that's how I've done it so far. That is very challenging, because obviously what I raise in that way is never going to be enough to cover the whole thing.
Of course.
It's friends coming together to support it, and I would like to always keep that going. But there's come a time now where this project has become way bigger,
yes,
than the support of friends, than I imagined, you know, and that I am now needing serious support.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's something to work on, isn't it? And yes. hopefully this program might help people listening who think this is such a really, truly worthy cause for these young people, that they might get in touch with you. But as you say, it's getting bigger now than what you imagined when you were back there. And these people, that the three winners, will they all, did I ask you this, will they automatically go to England?
Yes. Well, they will go wherever the people that have invited want to take them, which is the whole idea of it.
So I see.
If actually the Guildhall likes the person who wins. And sometimes it happens that because the deliberation of the competition is separate to the work that has gone on, the people who come might not really like to only take the person who's won the competition. They've heard others who maybe don't have quite what it takes yet, but with training, they can see that there's a future there.
Yeah. You know, what is the sort of age limit for entering this competition?
So they have to be 18 and they have to not be older than 33.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a nice spread, because younger than 18 is possibly too immature in many ways.
Is not ready yet, yeah. Yes.
And over 33, they should really be about to begin a proper career.
Going. Because, I mean, after that age, it's not to say that you can't help people who are older than that. But if this project, its main aims is to really try and assist people go to further education. And usually people beyond 33 are not looking to go and study further.
Absolutely not, no. Yeah. All right, Njabula, your next piece, your third choice. Bryn Terfel, I see.
Yes. No, I would like to play Bryn Terfel. And this time I would like to, although I listen to him mostly singing opera, this time I like to play him singing a Welsh song, which is something that is very close to his heart, but also folk song being very close to my heart, being South African. I like him singing Arlane Mor.
Welsh baritone Bryn Terfel, a great favourite. What was that piece, Njabulu?
That piece is called Arlane Mor. It's a Welsh piece, and it comes from the valleys where Bryn is from.
Yes, so the Welsh singers as well. And once again, I must remind you that my guest on People of Note this week is Injabulo Mdladla, and he has spearheaded this competition, the Voices of South Africa National Opera Singing Competition, which reaches its climax here at the Artscape Theatre next Sunday. I want to ask you a bit about yourself now, Injabulo. What, you're a baritone, aren't you?
I am.
How did you discover you had a voice? You said right at the beginning that you were singing in choirs, and you must have somehow got a voice from somewhere.
Well, as I said, my grandmother used to sing a lot, and so when as I was growing at high school, you had to sing in a choir.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I didn't enjoy it very much. I always tried to get out of it, but the school master, the choir master insisted. So I got to start singing then. But also my grandmother was a domestic worker, and she happened to work for a family that really liked opera. And I remember that one time they got rid of these tapes. There were tapes those days.
Yes.
And one of them was a tape with Pavarotti. And it had a whole lot of things on it. But one of the pieces that I heard was from La Fille du Régiment, with the one with
the nine high C's.
And because I was singing in a choir, when I played these tapes, I started to connect the two. And whenever my parents were not at home, whenever the adults were out, I would put the tape on and I would sing along to it. And that was my introduction to opera. And I found a connection with what I was trying to do, and that's how I started to sing opera.
What sort of age would you have been then when you were listening to these cassette tapes? Were you a very young teenager?
I know that I was very young because I was at primary school.
Oh, as young as that?
Yeah, okay. I was not even at high school yet.
But how did you discover then, listening to Pavarotti with his high C's, that you were in fact a baritone? But did that only come formally when you went across to London?
Well, actually, I was then singing in the choir as a tenor. So when I was young, but as my voice broke later on, I then became a baritone, and I couldn't reach those high notes anymore.
Baritone is one of my favorite voices in the middle, from the bass and tenor, and they've got lovely roles. A lot of them are rather sinister roles.
Yes.
But they've got lovely roles.
Yes, amazing.
So when you were in South Africa at school singing all that, before you joined Carmen, you had had no formal vocal training?
No, I had no formal, except that when I went to high school, I had we had a singer as a choir master, Fandi Ahi, who had been an opera singer before. His career was cut short because he had heart problems. But when we did concerts, he used to sing, and again I would hear the connection with what I was hearing on the recordings at home and what he was doing. And he became very obsessed about me as a high school student that I had something. So whenever we did choir things, he would give me solos, and he went an extra mile to really encourage me to sing. But I had really never, my first singing lesson was at Guildhall School of Music in London.
So it's clearly a natural talent as well, because you would have had to learn how to read music and all those sort of things as well.
Yeah, and well, funny thing was, when I did go to the Guildhall and sang for them and got accepted, I just got accepted purely on my voice. But when it came time that I had to actually do the entrance exam, I had no idea. I mean, I didn't know how to read music or play a scale.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's one of the beauty about people abroad. It's first, what counts first is the talent, and then they can assist you with other things. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, at the Guildhall, they said to me, well, it's a degree course for 4 years. We can't accept you on a degree course unless you've passed that entrance exam. However, start, and we'll teach you what you need to pass the entrance exam. So, for 6 months, I wasn't registered on the course. I attended all the classes, but they actually gave me a teacher who was responsible for teaching me harmony, keyboard, how to read music intensively for 6 months. And then at the end of the 6 months, that exam was done, which I passed, and then got fully accepted on the course. You know, so I didn't miss out at the beginning by not being let in to attend the classes.
Yeah.
But I wasn't registered on the course until I'd done the entrance exam. But that is an amazing thing, because you don't find that, you know.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You're blessed, Njabulo, in many ways. That doesn't normally happen.
No, it doesn't happen.
So obviously they were very aware of your talent, may I say, and thought, this man, we've got to catch him and work with him while he's here.
It's really, I say I was one lucky fella.
Of course you were. And you've never looked back, and you won endless awards, which you're going to talk about as well shortly. But did your parents support all this, your parents and family?
Yes.
Your career, your choice of career.
Yeah, I mean, as I said to you, at home, my grandmother was a domestic worker, and at one point, actually, she was the only person that worked. So when I was finishing high school, there was no, the future wasn't looking good in terms of going to university. So in South Africa, I was never going to go to university. I was probably going to find a job as a waiter or whatever, but that was out of the picture. So when I got this scholarship to go to the Guildhall, you can imagine the relief.
Oh, yes.
That not only have I got a scholarship to go abroad, but somebody was going to pay for it.
Which is very important.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we'll have another music piece now. And I think it's time we heard you singing in Jabulu. I hope you don't object to that. Is that all right?
That's absolutely fine.
Okay, tell me what we're going to hear.
You're going to hear a South African folk song, and it's Thula Gugulami. It's a lullaby. Just like a lullaby my grandmother used to sing to put us to sleep, but it's very special, and I hope you enjoy it.
Of my guest, Njabulo Madlala, who's singing that traditional song. What was it called, Njabulo?
Thula Gugulami.
Thula Gugulami. Mm. Is it a solo CD of yours? Or what?
Yes,
is it?
It is. Songs of Home. And it's a mixture of songs from South Africa, lullabies that I heard my grandmother sing, but also I did the CD with a very good friend of mine who we studied together. And then when we started to work, we always did our recitals together, William Vann. And we decided to do a CD with songs from my home and his home. So there's a lot of English song on there.
Oh, right.
And South African songs. But we've thrown in some German lead as well. And
please let us have one in our library here.
Definitely.
So we can play you on the wire.
I've brought some for you.
Oh, excellent. In Djibouti, the other thing I wanted to ask you is, I was looking at your CV, and you know what, they list endless things, but I'm amazed at some of the prizes you've won. A scholarship, as you said, to study at Guildhall, the Cardiff International Academy of Voice. You've been a Britain Peers Young Artist. You were the winner of the 2010 Kathleen Ferrier Award, Singers Section Final of the Royal Overseas League Competition. The list here is quite long. The Standard Bank Young Artists Award for 2014. And then looking at all the roles you play, how would you describe your voice? Because you seem to do a whole lot of roles, not just dramatic or lyrical or whatever. Which sort of role is a great favorite of yours that you've really enjoyed?
Well, I've actually enjoyed singing Scarpia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Puccini.
How can you enjoy that? It's such a dreadful man.
Yeah, he is, but it's so nice sometimes to be...
It's a fantastic
role,
it
must be. To be not a good one.
He's got one of the best entrances in opera, doesn't he, in Act 1?
Yes, that's absolutely fantastic. And of course, I have to say that in my career, I'm doing... The repertoire is very wide, in the sense that I didn't imagine this because of how I started out, you know, having had to learn everything so quickly, learn music within 4 years.
And the language.
And the language.
The pronunciation of all that. Yeah.
But I find myself doing some really complex new music as well. I mean, at the moment, I'm even collaborating with another South African composer, Robert Fawkins, who's, of course, the brother of Alex. And he just wrote a piece for me. Which tells a bit of my story, I have to say. And we just did the first part of it in Cardiff recently. And it's very difficult music, but very fulfilling, because it's not your traditional Puccini, Mozart. You get to really stretch, and you're part of the process. You know, when he writes the piece, he's writing it with my voice in mind.
That must be very special. And it's something brand new. No one's ever done it before.
No one's ever done
yours.
It before.
It's yours.
Yes.
You're premiering it, as it were. And one of the things that completely fascinates me, and I hope this is not a patronizing question, Djibouti, is, and I think I'm not the only sort of old white person thinking this, it's unbelievable how many good black voices there are. Wow, how has that come about? I mean, apart from the very famous people like Pretty and Pumetsa and these, our black singers are phenomenal. And they're winning prizes all over the place.
Well,
I'll
tell you, it's a very, very good question. You know, some people might think, oh, what a ridiculous question or what. But it's a very interesting question, especially in times where people think opera is something of, is an elitist art form. Where people think opera is for a select few and it's something that's over there. It's not. But the interesting question is what you put, that the majority of people who sing opera in South Africa, I would say in the African continent, are black singers. And it is not a surprise or shock to me, because I'm one of those. but it has, what is a surprise and shock to me is when people are surprised by it. because we come from the choirs. And the tradition of choirs introduces us to opera quite early on. And then we become fascinated by it. And as we grow up, we really fall in love with opera and we want to do that. And so the opera world is also progressing and wanting to see a mixture of people on stage. And when they begin to address that, I have to tell you that the first place that they look at is South Africa. Because of what you say, we've got so many blacks in a singing opera.
But do you ever have a criticism leveled at you? And you know what things are like at the moment. We're living in tricky times, and there's this whole ghost of colonialism hanging over us. Do you ever... I know some people think opera is colonial. And I mean, how would you deal with that? Because, I mean, clearly it isn't.
Well, it's very simple for me. That's what Mandela fought for and all those people. They fought for us to be able to do what we are talented in and exactly what we want to do. They fought for us not to be limited to what some people may think is for us, you know, because even that, you know, talks to how much we still need to open up. They fought for us to be able to go to Europe and, you know, seep in that culture. And especially when we have talent and we have what it takes to make it. And that Mandela didn't fight for me to sing jazz only, you know. He didn't fight me to sing African music only. They fought for us to have this freedom. Which, absolutely. That's how I answer it.
Yeah, no, that's a very good answer. And thank you for that, Injibulo, because it is a controversy for some people. And, you know, there are those people, as you said earlier, who think of opera as elitist and all that. And, I mean, opera is such a joy. Wonderful stories, wonderful characters, wonderful music. And, as you know, is a joy to sing and work in as well.
And I mean, now I've got another way of answering this as well for even people that are people that say, I don't go to opera, it's not for me. Well, I say, people say, you know, opera tickets are so expensive. Or, you know, now we've proved that actually that's not the case. There's many operas that you can see for very little, especially in Europe and here as well at home, mm-hmm. many concerts. And also when the singers on stage all look like you, what is your reason anymore not to go to an opera?
That's something to ponder, Injibulo. Well, listen, we're coming towards the end of our session together now, but I just want to say how interesting it has been to talk to you and really to witness some of your passion. And congratulations on this competition, the Voices of South African National Opera Singing Competition. All this week, there'll be masterclasses at Hugo Lamprecht in Paro, and then next Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, that's the 28th of July, there'll be the finalist concert, and that's going to take place here at Artscape. And my guest has been Injibulo Madlala, who actually spearheaded this whole operation from a little dream back in Guildhall, as you said, Injibulo. Now, tell me about your last piece of music, because I see you've chosen one of our great opera singers.
Yes, I've chosen Phumeza Majikiza, and she sings the aria De Vieni from Mozart's Marriage of Figaro. And Phumeza is also, I mean, I have to say that I listen a lot to female voices, but Phumeza is a friend, and she's somebody that when I first started singing, when I was in that group, she was also in that group together. And when I got a chance to go and study at the Guildhall, at the same time she got a chance to go and study at the Royal College of Music. So we've stayed together, and I've been very proud of her achievements, as I've been proud of achievements of Pretty, who's an extraordinary talent, not only, but is a very hardworking artist. Very few people work as hard as that woman. And I've chosen Phumeza because I think she really sings this aria like I've not really heard a lot of European singers sing it.
Thank you, Injibulo. That's a lovely way to end. Thank you very much, and all the best with your competition, and come and see us again.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing everyone next weekend here at Art Cape. It started 3 p.m., by the
That's
way,
right.
The competition. And please do come and support the young singers.
Thank you, Injibulo.
Yeah.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
They became the voice of a generation with hits like Cecilia, Mrs. Robinson, Graceland, and so many more. Now relive the memories at Theatre on the Bay from the 31st of July until the 17th of August with Here's to You, the Simon & Garfunkel songbook. Expect all the hits with an 8-piece band that blends nostalgia and imagination. Don't miss Here's to You from the 31st of July until the 17th of August, only at Theatre on the Bay. Book now. FMR.